having just kept the Day of Atonement, I think we know a thing or two about affliction, because it is an affliction of the being, of our physical being. But there is a benefit to that, in that we receive spiritual strength, and we are to walk in Yahweh's strength, in His Spirit, and we are to have a spiritual walk with Him and His Son, Yahshua, and we are to be in unity with one another. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. We find Paul here is pleading with the Father and through Yahshua the Messiah, and he's asking for this. He's relating that he had asked for this thorn in the flesh to be removed. In verse 9 it says, "And he has said to me," speaking of Yahshua, he's relating this, what Yahshua said to him. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Messiah may dwell within me." And we know the power of Messiah is that of Yahweh, because the Messiah had Yahweh's Spirit in fullness. Now we get a down payment. We get a portion. It's a promise, and it comes with a gift. And we are to walk in that Spirit. We are to humble ourselves before Yahweh and to do His will and not our own. And many times we need to meditate and consider what His will is for us, and study His Word, of course, to find out, because it's written down for us. Verse 10 says, "Therefore I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Messiah's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And we experienced weakness, physical weakness, by fasting, by going without water or food this Day of Atonement. It's the only commanded day of affliction which we find throughout Scripture is referring to an actual fast. It's the only commanded fast, but it's not the only day that we can fast. Certainly there are times when it is appropriate to fast and to draw close to Yahweh, to receive His strength, and to humble ourselves before Him. And so we certainly want to be obedient to Him, and we want to humble ourselves before Him. You know, and thinking about the meek shall inherit the earth, it doesn't say the proud shall inherit the earth. It doesn't talk about lifting ourselves up. It does talk about lifting Yahweh up and doing these things. And so we come together and we do things in a proper and orderly manner. We try to keep order as best we can to make sure that Yahweh is receiving the praise and not men. But if you would, let's go over to the book of Luke. You know, the question can arise, you know, how do we receive spiritual insight? Luke 10 and verse 23, starting there. He says, turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see, and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear, and did not hear them." So where does the power come? Where does the spiritual insight come from? Let's go over to Matthew. Matthew 11. Yahshua certainly knew. Matthew 11, verse 25, starting there. At that time, Yahshua said, "I praise you, Father, Master of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight." So Yahshua tells us that these things have been hidden from certain people at this time. It's not for everyone. Many are called, but few are chosen, Scripture says. But Yahweh is revealing His Word, His understanding, His Spirit to those He desires to reveal it to. And with that comes understanding. Let's go back over to Luke. Luke chapter 11 and verse 27. Luke 11, verse 27 and 28. Now it says, while Yahshua was saying these things, one of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "On the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of Yahweh and observe it." That's something you don't hear a lot of today. But it's out of Yahshua's own words that we are to observe Yahweh's word. What is that word? They had the Old Testament in the New Testament times. It's only today that we have the New Testament that we find clarification that they were admitting that in Yahshua's own words was for Yahweh's will, and we find His will throughout Scripture. And yes, we do have a better understanding, I think, of Scripture with the New Testament. These letters that were written to those in Corinth and those in other areas, they had difficulties. Paul himself had to address some of the issues and help them to worship in a proper and orderly manner. Let's go over to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 and verse 24. When we see the mighty power that's at work here, it's hard to comprehend just how powerful it is. Mark 5 and verse 24, going through 30. And it says, "And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him," speaking of Yahshua. Verse 25, "A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Yahshua, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, 'If I just touch his garments, I will get well.' Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately Yahshua perceived in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my garments?'" Certainly he knew, but he probably wanted to see what the disciples would say. And they've said, "You see the crowd pressing in on you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" So they were a little astonished. Yahshua had the fullness of the Spirit. And that's something that is coming, I think, for Yahweh's people. We don't have the fullness now. We have a portion. And we have to sit quietly and listen to that, to what that Spirit is leading us to comprehend that still small voice that's within those that have Yahweh's Spirit. And even those that are have not been baptized, have not received that Spirit within them, they're being drawn, they're being called, and so therefore the Spirit is revealing to them. But it's a powerful Spirit, and it's one that if you have faith, Yahshua said, you know, you can move mountains with this faith. Let's go over to Romans. Another thing that happens when we receive of the Spirit, it helps us to understand what we've done. Many times we've done much wrong. It's to help us to discern right from wrong so that we choose right, so we choose life, eternal life, and so that we resist the wrong. Romans 6 and verse 17. Romans 6 and verse 17 says, "Thanks be to Yahweh that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed." And we know what the prophecies say, that in Jeremiah 31 and also in Ezekiel 36, the Spirit is given so that we may be obedient to our Heavenly Father, that we may be given a new heart, and that there may be a change. And when we are immersed, of course, that stony heart of ours is taken out, and we're given a new heart, a malleable heart. And we go through the baptism process to, in a symbolic way, to bury the old man, the old person, so that we are coming up anew in Messiah. And so we have to consider our old ways, make sure that we are getting rid of those old ways out of our life so that we are walking new, that we are walking in Yahweh's Spirit. And certainly Yahweh seeks out those that walk in His Spirit, or that are seeking His Spirit and seeking His truth. Let's go over to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You know, the Spirit is described as a help to us. And certainly we need all the help we can get. Yahshua knew that. Yahweh knows it as well. And so I think Yahshua was happy to do what He did for us, to give His very life for us, that we may have the help that is needed. Because His life, by giving up His life, it's going to bring many lives closer to Yahweh, and has even already. But we have not been changed fully. We've not truly been, in the truest sense of the wording, been born again. That has not happened. We have newness of nature, but we do not have a complete change. That happens at the resurrection, and we pray that we'll be in the first resurrection. But in John 15, verse 5, Yahshua says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. So we can do nothing with him. In verse 6 it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So if you walk away from Yahweh's word, then you effectively will die spiritually and will be destined for the lake of fire. Not keeping the Day of Atonement, for example, is a good way to remove yourself. Verse 10, it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So Yahshua did what his Father requested of him. Commanded him, I guess we could say, because he commands us. Does he expect anything less from us than what he did from his own son? He calls us children, and we call him our Father. But how do we grow? What's the process? How do we get to where we need to be? Let's go over to Romans, the book of Romans. Not necessarily a well-understood book, because Paul was sometimes hard to understand. Regrettably, those that are lawless twist his words to meet their own desire. Romans 12 and verse 6. We'll read through 18. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. You know, the gifts that we're given, they're for the building up of the body. They're for the purpose of helping one another. They're not gifts that we selfishly go away with and keep to ourselves and hide. We don't hide our gifts. We utilize our gifts to help others. But in verse 6 it says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his service, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Again, we're answering the question, how do we grow? Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in in spirit, serving Yahweh, serving the Master, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We are to have compassion for one another. We are to have mercy for one another. Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Be at peace. And that is something that we desire. We desire to have peace. We desire to have love and joy and happiness. And, you know, part of that is having self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit that is working within us will produce these if we are walking in that Spirit, if we allow that Spirit to take a hold of us internally. It will expound externally. It will grow. Just as Joshua said, you know, come to me, I'll give you living waters, waters that will flow from your belly. He's talking, I think, about the, you know, he can be talking about something physical, but he's also talking about something spiritual. And of course, at that time, they were pouring water out and stuff at the temple, and certainly that would have struck them at that time. But he was always focused on the spiritual. Joshua was always encouraging us to look up, basically, to serve the Father, to love Him, and to do His will. And when anyone basically came up to him and said, "Good Master," well, we have at least one record that he said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good." So he humbled himself, and he allowed himself to serve rather than to be served. And we need to serve. And we need to serve one another. We need to help one another. And I do think, try to do that. But there's something else that's going on as well that we need to be aware of. And it's our human nature. We still have human nature. We have a portion of the Spirit, not a fullness of the Spirit. We are to discern the Spirit from the flesh, the works of the flesh, and draw closer to Yahweh through His Spirit and get away from the works of the flesh. Let's go over to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Where we find some things here. Starting in verse 19, we need to keep in mind that we need to quench and eliminate the works of the flesh out of our lives. Because if we don't, we're going to end up quenching the Spirit that Yahweh has given to His people. Galatians 5 and verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. Now this is the New American Standard version I'm going to be reading out of, and I think the wording is a bit better than some of the other versions. But it notes all of these here. It says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. And it says, and things like these, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Very stern words. And they're given for a reason, because it's truth. There are certain things we should not be doing. And then there are things that we should be doing. And we need to be circumspect of our spiritual walk with the Father and with the Son. Let's say, hypothetically, thinking about the works of the flesh, let's say Bill tells Bob, and these are just no correlation to any real Bob or Bill or Samantha, but let's say Bill tells Bob something that Samantha said to Bob, or about Bob. So Bill tells Bob something that Samantha said about Bob. Who is the problem person here? Isn't it both Samantha and Bill? Hasn't Bill just been given the example by Samantha that it's okay to talk about other brethren's problems? Hasn't Samantha, if she saw a problem with what Bob had originally said, disobeyed Yahweh by not following Scripture? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 18. We do receive instruction in the New Testament, just as we receive instruction in the Old Testament. Matthew 18 and verse 15. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the assembly, tell it to the body. And if he refuses to listen even to the assembly, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. Now this is for the individual's own good. If they're being defiant, being unwilling to work within the body, within the restrictions of the body, and we do find that there are restrictions, just as we find the works of the flesh, we are not to do these things. But that would have been the right way for, the thing would be to say what would be the best thing for the receiver of the gossip to do. If you're receiving gossip, what's the best thing to do? Well, in this case of Bob, Bill, and Samantha, wouldn't it be good for Bob to say to Samantha something like, you know, Bill has never said or shared anything bad about you. Or, you need to talk to Bill about this, but if it isn't resolved, come back and get me. Keeping in mind Matthew 18, 15 through 17. There's a proper order. Everything in an orderly and proper manner. We are to be a structured people. Structured and moved by Yahweh's Spirit through His Word, or His Word through our Spirit, through His Spirit. So there's certain things that we have to be aware of. And even after, maybe say, Bill says this to Samantha or to Bob or whoever is sharing the gossip, or in this case, Bob, or Bill, Bill should drop the subject and talk about something else. Let's go over to Isaiah 58:9. You know, many things we can resolve by just not talking about them. In the sense that if there's a problem with gossip, we can pretty much halt it by not spreading it, by not indulging in it. But it seems like there's some really juicy morsels out there sometimes we get, and we want to share. And the idea is to have self-control, one of the fruits of the Spirit. Isaiah 58, you're probably already there. Look how serious this business of gossiping is. Isaiah 58 and verse 9. Now this version says, then you will call, and then Yahweh will answer. You will cry, and He will say, here I am. If, it's conditional, if you remove the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness. Pointing the finger. I've heard it said where there's one finger pointing out, there's like three or four coming back. But we're told, in fact, let's go back to Galatians 5. Let's get the context of what the works of the flesh are here. Why is Paul bringing these things up? What is he dealing with? Well, the whole book of Galatians talking about circumcision, there were those that were saying you had to be physically circumcised. But that was like a blood token of the first covenant. We're under a new agreement. We don't have to do these physical sacrifices of spilling blood and these type of things in Messiah. We are covered by His blood. We are sanctified by Him. So these issues, some of these issues with the sacrifices and stuff, we just don't do these. But in Galatians, Galatians 5 and verse 13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." What's he telling us here? Drop back down to the works of the flesh. I want to share something with you that I didn't see until today. I just have not noticed this before. In Galatians 5, in verse 19, we find that these the works of the flesh are here. But notice here, it says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry." Okay, those are one thing, but notice, well, and sorcery is there, but notice what's right in the middle here. Well, actually, let's go towards the end. There's drunkenness and carousing. Okay, if you can, just kind of cover up the drunkenness and carousing and these first ones all the way to like sorcery. What's left? You have things that are sandwiched in here that is what Paul is really wanting to get at, I think, in the context of what he's talking about here. Enmities, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions. In other words, pointing the finger, gossiping, speaking wickedness, backbiting, these type of things. Paul was concerned about these. Yahweh's Spirit is concerned about these things. Before we speak to someone, we need to think about what we're speaking about. They have a legal term. Defamation of character. Are we defaming someone? Are we slandering someone? Are we hurting a brother within the faith? Or a sister. We have to ask ourselves these questions. I have to ask myself this question. I need to think before I speak. I need to listen with both ears before I speak with my single mouth, which has a tongue, like has been described, is like a rudder on a ship, and it can move the whole ship. It can be very destructive. It can be very powerful. And we need to be aware of what we say, how we act, what we do, and that if it is in the line of the works of the flesh, then we have a problem. We have a serious problem. Because Paul says, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. You know, the Israelites had problems. We have problems too, because we're still physical. And though we have the spirit in portion, we still have this human nature we have to deal with. I think it's an easy question to answer. Why were so many of the Israelites in the past unable to stay the course following Yahweh's will? Let's go over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 23. Jeremiah 7:23 says, "But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your Elohim, and you will be my people, and you will walk in all the ways which I command you, that it may be well with you." Yahweh has our own good, just as a father has our own good in mind when he tells us to do certain things. Verse 24, yet they did not obey or incline ear, but walked in their own counsels, in their own stubbornness, of their own evil heart, and went backwards and not forwards. Told to walk in his way and to be blessed, but they didn't. And they were not blessed. Many times they were punished. Jeremiah 9 and verse 13. They'll be blessed just as many in this world will be. Or they were cursed just as many in this world will be cursed. It says, Yahweh said to them in verse 13 of Jeremiah 9, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not walked in my voice, nor walked according to it, but have walked in the stubbornness of their own heart, and after Baals as their fathers taught them. Therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, behold, I will feed them, this people, with wormwood, and give them poisoned drink, water to drink. Does that sound familiar? Let's go over to Revelation. Revelation 8 and verse 11. We're given here something in present tense of a future event. We're told what's coming as if it has already happened because it is a sure thing that will happen. And it's a sure thing because the people in the world do not listen nor obey Yahweh. Revelation 8 and 11. The name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the waters because they were made bitter. It's the third trumpet blast. The judgments that come down, the judgments that are coming on this world. But if you're following Yahweh's Spirit, you're putting away the deeds of the flesh, then there is protection, because our Father loves us. He loves us so much that He gave His Son. Again, why were so many of the Israelites in the past unable to stay the course and follow Yahweh's will? And what is the solution? Ezekiel 36. I mentioned this earlier. Ezekiel 36. And 26 says, moreover, speaking of the future, prophecy, but I think in a sense we're seeing this in part now by Yahweh's grace through His Son. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, malleable, something that Yahweh can work with. That's what Ezekiel 36 and verse 26 says. And verse 27 says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And many times, this is exactly, well, this is the way it is. The initial time we become immersed in Yahshua's name, we get the Spirit, we're gung-ho, and then for some, something happens. They start being more concerned about themselves, about the world, about not doing Yahweh's will anymore. It gets put on the back burner, so to speak. They end up submitting to the works of the flesh rather than doing and having the fruits of the Spirit. Let's go over to Romans 8. We are to submit to Yahweh's Spirit. It's there to help. It's for our own good. And sometimes we have to sacrifice and not think of ourselves. We have to think of others. We have to focus on serving rather and giving rather than getting. Romans 8 and verse 4. So that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Does walking in the Spirit put us one with the Father and the Son? I think we already know the answer, but let's take a look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 30. Yahshua says, I and the Father are one. Now, it doesn't say, I and the Father are the same person. I want to make that correction clear. Notice in verse 29, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Again, Yahshua is saying his Father is greater than even him. Something to be comprehended, because he had the fullness of Yahweh's Spirit. But we know the Father by looking at what the Son did, because the Son didn't do anything but what the Father required of him. And he was a perfect sacrifice for us because he did not sin. He was sinless. We can't say we are sinless. We are striving to be sinless. We are striving to overcome. We must make a conscious decision to follow the right way of doing things, to follow Yahweh's way of doing things, to submit to that Spirit that He's given to us. Let's go over to John 17, John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 11. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given to me, and that they may be one, even as we are. In verse 21, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. And what's the attribute that we are to have that shows everyone who we are? It is to love one another. It is not to backbite one another. It is not to point fingers at one another. It is not to hate one another. It is to love one another. And if we don't love one another, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble. We have to love one another, and we have to have heartfelt love for one another. We can't go around defaming one another. We can't go around the works of the flesh and be submitting to that, because by doing so, we're really submitting to Satan's way. His way is destruction. His way is hate. His way is backbiting and talking about others behind their back. That's his way. That is not to be our way. There's a wonderful future for those that overcome. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 2. For those that walk in the Spirit, that fully submit to Yahweh's will. I mean, we're not our own. We've been purchased with a great price. One that we can't repay other than to just submit to Yahweh's Spirit and to do His will fully. Isaiah 2 and verse 3. And many peoples will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob, that He may teach us concerning His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. This is a future that we're given the opportunity of a lifetime to understand and walk according to His Spirit right now. To be in the coming kingdom as priests, ruler in rulership with Yahshua the Messiah. That's what we are preparing for. We're doing all of these things for a reason. Yes, we love the Father. We are wanting to obey Him. We want to serve Him. We also look forward to a time when there will be peace and prosperity in the world like this world has never seen before. We look forward to the coming kingdom. We look to do Yahweh's righteousness in our own lives, so that we may be one with the Father, that we may be one with the Son. And what made them one? Same Spirit. And the submission, the humbling of oneself to the other. And we need to humble ourselves to each other with Yahweh in mind, with the Messiah in mind. Again, a warning against the works of the flesh. James. James 1 and verse 26. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. How far can you take that? That's a pretty plain statement. Worthless. For one who does not think about what he says, is not circumvent of his speech, is out destroying rather than helping. Again, the fruits of the gifts that we're given, it's to help, to build up. It's not for tearing down. It's for building up. We're to be a body, a temple, fitting for Yahweh to dwell within us through His Spirit. Let's go over to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. Just how serious is this? 101 and verse 5. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. Now this is King David speaking, but we know that Yahweh inspired him to write what he wrote. And he was also called a man after Yahweh's own heart. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, his brother, whoever, him I will destroy. Revelation 3 and verse 5. We'll close with this. Something else that was brought up that I never really had considered before, but it's here. Revelation 3 and verse 5. Yahshua speaking to the assemblies, and he says, "He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Do you catch that? Did you catch that? I will not erase his name. In other words, our names can be erased. Our names can be erased. Because Yahshua here is saying, he who overcomes overcomes to the end. He will not erase out of the book of life. So just as a branch can be broken off and thrown into the lake of fire, Yahshua gives indication that there will be those who will be erased out of the book of life. If we submit to Yahweh's Spirit and walk in His truth, we will not lose the promise of eternal life. May Yahweh bless you.